Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cremery. Attorneys delivered oral arguments this week in a perjury case for a retired Homer judge. Outside the Anchorage courthouse, protesters held signs supporting the rights of grand juries to investigate judicial corruption. KDLL's Riley Board reports.
Former Judge Margaret Murphy was charged with one felony perjury count by a grand jury in April 2023. The indictment was filed by state special prosecutor Clint Campion. Murphy's attorneys filed a motion to dismiss the case in October, which they argued for Monday morning. The charge is related to the case of David Haig, a Soldotna man who was convicted in Murphy's courtroom in 2004 for unlawful hunting crimes. Since then, Haig has led a larger campaign for the rights of grand juries and against judicial corruption. This morning in Anchorage, Haig and a dozen other supporters stood outside the Nesbitt courthouse, holding signs that read, "Grand juries have the power," and "Alaskans against tyranny." The case was originally located at the Kenai courthouse, where all Superior Court judges recused themselves. It was moved from Kenai to Homer by request of Murphy's attorney and assigned to Anchorage Judge Thomas Matthews. Last week, the oral arguments were rescheduled to Anchorage by court order. Murphy's attorney, Timothy Potemenos, went first, arguing that the state's indictment of Murphy lacked sufficient detail and did not meet the state's legal standards for a perjury charge. Potemenos told the judge that any of those reasons should be grounds for dismissal. Campion, the special prosecutor, argued next and said the defense's claims about improper jury quorum were true. But he pushed back on Potemenos' claim that the grand jury acted improperly in investigating Murphy. He said she testified in late 2022, and evidence the grand jury received several months later contradicted her testimony, leading to the perjury charge. When asked by the judge if the lack of jury quorum was enough to dismiss the case, Campion said yes. Judge Matthews told the courtroom he would not issue a ruling during the hearing, but that he would release a statement in writing after reviewing the arguments. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
Bethel police have reopened an investigation into the death of a local woman that was originally deemed a suicide after pleas from her family. Bethel's former police chief believes the woman was killed. But as KYUK's Francisco Martinez Cuello reports, turnover in the police department has the woman's parents worried the investigation will stall or close again before they find out what happened to their daughter. A note to listeners, this story shares details of an ongoing police investigation, including some details about the circumstances surrounding the death of this woman.
On August 22nd of 2021, community service patrol officers responding to a call about an intoxicated man found Nikki Taylor unresponsive on the deck of a home off of First Avenue Access. They called Bethel police, who say when they showed up, she wasn't breathing and she had a black windbreaker wrapped around her neck. And according to a police report, when they removed it, she had ligature marks on her neck, which are a common type of bruising when someone is strangled or hung. Medical personnel were able to revive Taylor and medevac her to Anchorage, but she was declared brain dead just 3 days later. The state medical examiner office later ruled Taylor's death a suicide. But Taylor's parents weren't satisfied with that explanation. Sophie Pinder, Taylor's mother, called the state examiner's office.
When I talked with the medical examiner, I told her that it's not suicide.
And when Bethel got a new police chief in 2022, Taylor's parents asked him to look at the case again.
You know, after talking to them and hearing them out, I told them I would look at the report again. I pulled the report up, took a look at it, and, you know, there were some concerns that it maybe not had been shown the attention that it needed.
That's former Bethel Police Chief Leonard Pete Hicks.
There were a lot of unanswered questions that should have been addressed. When you're dealing with any death investigation, the last thing you want is a report that generates more questions than answers. And that was kind of the case here. A lot of statements didn't make sense.
Alaska's suicide rate is twice the national average. But when it comes to the circumstances regarding Taylor's death, Hicks says things don't add up. So Hicks told officers to reopen Taylor's case.
Just speaking as an investigator, you know, from my own experience, after reading the report, listening to the interviews, looking at the evidence, I definitely think that there's more that occurred that day than just a simple suicide, and that we need to know the truth as to what happened that day for the sake of the victim and the sake of the family.
When Bethel police reopened the case, the investigator eventually found more than a dozen points of contention, essentially red flags with the initial investigation. Many of the investigators' questions revolve around a man named Walter Williams, who has a history of assault convictions. Hicks says this isn't the first time Williams was involved in a domestic incident.
You had a suspect or boyfriend that had a history of domestic violence. So there were things that needed to be addressed. There was follow-up that should have been done that hadn't been done.
When community service patrol officers arrived at the home where Taylor was found on the night of the incident, they told Bethel police that Williams was kneeling over her body. Those community service officers say Williams yelled at them and then fled the scene. But he was caught by Bethel police moments later and handcuffed. According to a police report, Williams, who was engaged to Taylor, said she tried to hang herself. But the investigator got a search warrant for Taylor's medical records that do not show a history of suicidal ideation. In fact, a note from Taylor's doctor cast doubt on her alleged suicide as well. The doctor wrote, quote, "I do not think Ms. Taylor's injuries are consistent with hanging by a windbreaker. I am highly concerned for non-accidental trauma and possible homicide, especially since she had been assaulted within 48 hours prior to these injuries," end quote. But despite the red flags, the reinvestigation of the case stalled in March when the police department asked the state medical examiner office to reopen the case for a review. And there's been a lot of turnover at the police department, and the case has essentially gone nowhere for 7 months. Now, the police chief who pushed for the case to be reopened has stepped down too. Taylor's father used to be in law enforcement, and when he talks about this investigation, his frustration is palpable.
These investigating officers, there's how many of them? Three of them quit. Two of them quit. And this last one right now, I'm saying, I told the investigator, only time I'll shake your hand is when this thing is done in the court. Then I will shake your hands, you know. It's pretty hard to tell the truth to talk to you right now.
Pinder, Taylor's mom, is demanding answers.
What are they hiding? What's going on? What are they hiding? Or is it just discrimination?
The fact that the investigation into Taylor's death is almost 2.5 years in doesn't sit well with her mother.
How would you feel if you have a child, or if this was your sister? How would you feel? What would you do?
Williams has not been charged with murdering Taylor or anything else connected to the investigation. But he is being held at Goose Creek for violating a protective order another woman has against him. The state medical examiner's office would not comment on the case, but Taylor's parents say her death is still officially categorized as a suicide. In Bethel, I'm Francisco Martinez Cuello.
A federal judge has ruled that a civil rights case against the city of Fairbanks can proceed to trial. Marvin Roberts, one of four indigenous men known as the Fairbanks Four, is suing the city for police misconduct he said led to wrongful conviction and imprisonment for a 1997 murder. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason ruled that a 2015 settlement agreement that vacated discredited murder convictions of George Freeze, Kevin Pease, Eugene Vent, and Marvin Roberts, in exchange for them agreeing not to sue the city, did not bar them from doing so.
We always thought that this was illegal, unenforceable, you know, not something that should be permitted.
Anna Benvenuti Hoffman is an attorney for Marvin Roberts, the only member of the Fairbanks Four who did not accept $1.59 million payments to drop their civil rights lawsuit last year. She says Judge Gleason's ruling refocuses Roberts' remaining case on the suit's original premise,
which is all the misconduct by the police that caused the wrongful conviction in the first place.
Evidence provided during a 2015 post-conviction relief hearing showed that a group of other local men were likely responsible for the 1997 murder of John Hartman, a crime Freeze, Pease, Vent, and Roberts spent nearly two decades in prison for. Benvenuti Hoffman says Judge Gleason's ruling launches a new phase of the long-running legal battle.
Going to trial, a civil rights trial.
You know, start actually putting our main case together.
The suit names Fairbanks police officers James Geyer, Clifford Aaron Ring, Chris Nolan, and Dave Kendrick. Kramer says he's optimistic that the trial could commence within a year, but also cautions that the civil rights case has been in place since 2017. In a November 2023 interview, Marvin Roberts emphasized that he's committed to seeing the case through.
I am prepared to wait this out until I see justice.
The city of Fairbanks can appeal Judge Gleason's ruling allowing the case to proceed. Their attorney, Matthew Singer, was traveling and unavailable for an interview, but in an email said the city will, quote, review the decision and consider its options for next steps. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org. It's just about 4:58.